All right, so today we're taking a deep dive into a case that completely changed voting rights in America.
Oh, absolutely. A landmark case.
Smith v. So, all right.
Yep.
I mean, imagine living in the Jim Crow South. You go to vote
Yeah.
and you're told, nope, can't do it.
Just because of the color of your skin?
Just because of the color of your skin.
Just like that.
That was the reality for so many
Hard to believe.
before the Supreme Court decision.
Yeah.
And we're going to look at how Smith v. O'Rourke really took down this whole system of white primaries, which was just designed to silence black voters.
Oh, absolutely. A system designed to, as you said, silence black voters and basically undermine the 15th Amendment.
Yeah.
And what I find so interesting about this case is it's not just, some historical thing, a legal battle that happened way back when.
Right.
It really shows how the Constitution can change and adapt with society.
Yeah.
Smith v. O'Rourke shows us how the Supreme Court can say, hey, you know what? We messed up and we need to fix this, in the pursuit of justice.
Right, and they actually overturned, they acknowledged their own mistake and overturned a previous precedent,
Exactly.
which is really kind of rare for the Supreme Court.
Absolutely.
So let's give our listeners some background here. We're talking about the Jim Crow South.
We are.
Voter suppression all over the place, poll taxes, literacy tests,
all sorts of tactics.
and of course, the big one, the white primary.
Yeah, the white primary, one of the most effective.
So can you kind of unpack that a little bit?
Yeah.
How did these white primaries work?
Sure. So the 15th Amendment says very clearly that you can't deny someone the right to vote based on their race.
Right.
But the people who wanted to keep white supremacy alive, they found a loophole.
Of course they did.
They said, well, political parties are private organizations.
Right.
So we can set our own rules for who can be a member.
Right. Private club, we make the rules.
Exactly. And so what they would do is they would bar black people from joining the party and from voting in the primary elections. And of course, in the South, where it was basically a one-party
It
system,
was all Democrats.
that meant that black people were basically shut out of the whole voting process.
Completely shut out.
Yeah. They couldn't even get to the general election because they couldn't participate in the primaries.
And this is where Lonnie Smith enters our story.
That's right.
He was an African-American dentist in Texas.
In Houston.
And in 1940, he goes to vote in the Democratic primary, and they tell him, nope,
You can't vote here.
you can't vote because you're black.
It's incredible.
It's just astounding, the audacity of it all. But what's really amazing about Lonnie Smith is he's like, I'm not taking this. I'm going to fight back.
He did. He said, no way, this is not right.
This is wrong. This is unjust. And so he starts this legal battle that goes all the way to the Supreme Court.
All the way to the Supreme Court.
But there was a roadblock in his way.
A big one. A big roadblock.
A previous Supreme Court case, Grovey v. Townsend.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Grovey.
Okay, so in Grovey v. Townsend, which was decided in 1935, the Supreme Court basically said, you know what? These political parties, they are private organizations.
They agreed.
And when it comes to who they let in and who they don't, the Constitution doesn't really apply.
Not our business.
Yeah, stay out of our business, basically. And
Yeah.
that decision basically gave states the okay to keep discriminating against black voters.
Under the cover of private actions.
Exactly. They could say, well, it's not us, it's the party.
Right.
But it was really the state pulling the strings behind the scenes.
So how did the court in Smith then overcome this precedent that it had been set by Grovey?
Well, that's the really interesting part. Between Grovey and Smith, something really important happened.
Okay.
In 1941, the Supreme Court decided another case, United States v. Classic.
Okay.
And in Classic, the court said, hold on a minute. These primaries, they're actually part of the election process.
Okay, so they're changing their tune a little bit here.
They're starting to shift their thinking.
Yeah.
And they said, since primaries are part of the election process, that means they're subject to the Constitution.
Okay, so the Constitution does apply.
It does. And so that created a direct conflict with what they had said in Grovey.
Right.
And it really set the stage for Smith v. O'Rourke to take another look at these white primaries.
So now we have Smith v. O'Rourke making its way up to the Supreme Court.
The stage is set.
What were some of the main legal arguments being made?
Okay, so the main question was, is this Texas Democratic primary truly a private thing?
Right.
Like Texas was claiming, or is it actually the state acting like it's not involved?
Trying to hide behind this private organization.
Exactly. Texas was really trying to hold on to the idea that they had nothing to do with what the Democratic Party was doing.
It's not us, it's them.
Don't blame us, blame them.
But I'm guessing the Supreme Court wasn't really buying it.
You guessed right. They saw right through it. Justice Reed, he wrote the majority opinion, and he basically delivered a legal knockout punch. He said that the state of Texas had basically given the Democratic Party the power to run their elections.
Okay.
And because they had done that, the party's rules were now subject to the Constitution.
They couldn't hide behind that shield anymore.
Nope. The shield was gone.
It's crazy how they tried to argue.
Because, you know,
these primaries, which really decided the elections,
right,
were separate from the state.
It really shows how far they were willing to go to keep Black people from voting.
To hold on to that power.
To hold on to that power, yeah. But the court in Smith v. Urich made it clear that you can't just you can't just ignore the Constitution.
Delegate away your responsibilities. Like,
you can't say, well, we're giving this private group the power to run our elections, but we're not responsible for what they do.
Right.
If you're giving a private group that much power, you better make sure they're playing by the rules.
And that those rules are fair.
Exactly.
So this case, it really makes you think about the whole relationship between political parties.
It does.
And the government.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they're running elections,
which they are,
shouldn't they be held to the same standards as the government?
That's a really good question, and it's one that's still being debated today.
Yeah, I mean,
Smith v. Urich definitely gave us a framework for thinking about it, but it didn't completely solve the problem.
It's not just theoretical either.
No, not at all. We see these issues pop up all the time.
Like with gerrymandering.
Exactly. When a political party in power redraws the district lines to give themselves an advantage.
To rig the system.
To rig the system, yeah. Is that a private act?
Or is that the state acting through the party?
That's where Smith v. Urich comes in. Mm-hmm. It gives us a lens to look at those situations.
It shows us that we have to be careful.
Right.
About letting parties have too much power without any accountability.
Absolutely. And it reminds us that the Constitution isn't static.
It's not just set in stone.
It changes with us. It evolves.
As our values change.
Yeah, exactly. Smith v. Urich is a great example of that.
Yeah.
The court realized that their old way of thinking from Grovey was wrong. Mm. And they were willing to change their minds. They overturned their own precedent to do what was right.
Which is a big deal.
It is a big deal. It shows that the court can admit when they've made a mistake.
And that justice sometimes requires us to rethink our old assumptions.
Exactly. Smith v. Urich reminds us that the Constitution is a living document.
It's not just a history book.
It's meant to guide us, even as times change. And it's a testament to the power of individuals like Lonnie Smith, who were willing to stand up, fight for what they believed in.
Who were willing to challenge the status quo.
Exactly. It's a story about courage and perseverance. And it reminds us that we all have a role to play in making sure the Constitution lives up to its promise of justice and equality for all.
So, looking back at Smith v. Urich, what are some of the key takeaways, you know, for us today? I mean, this case was decided decades ago.
Right.
But it obviously still has a huge impact.
It does. One of the biggest things I think we can learn from Smith is that we need a court system that's actively protecting voting rights.
A court system that's willing to step in.
Yes.
When those rights are being threatened.
Especially today, when we're seeing so many new attempts to restrict voting access.
It's almost like we're going backward in time.
It's scary to see, isn't it? It's like those old Jim Crow tactics are coming back in new forms.
Exactly. Targeting minority communities, making it harder for certain people to vote.
Exactly. And that's why Smith v. Urich is so important. It reminds us that we can't take voting rights for granted.
We have to be constantly on guard.
Absolutely. We have to be vigilant and fight against any attempts to disenfranchise voters.
Because that's really an attack on the heart of our democracy.
It is.
And it's important to understand the historical context of these legal decisions.
It is. We can't fully understand Smith v. Urich without understanding the long and often a brutal history of voter suppression in this country.
It's a reminder that these legal battles, they're often part of a much bigger social and political struggle.
And that the fight for equality and justice is still going on.
And Smith v. Urich gives us some of the tools we need to keep fighting that fight.
Absolutely. It shows us that the law can be a powerful force for positive change.
It's a reminder that progress is possible.
Yes.
But it doesn't just happen automatically.
It takes work. It takes commitment.
It takes people being willing to stand up for what's right.
Exactly. We can't be complacent.
We have to stay vigilant, challenge injustice,
yes,
and keep pushing for a more just and equitable society.
Well said. Smith v. Allwright is a powerful legacy, and it's up to all of us to carry that legacy forward.
We've spent this episode talking about Smith v. Allwright.
A truly groundbreaking case.
And before we wrap up,
mm-hmm,
I want to touch on something we mentioned earlier.
Okay.
The historical context surrounding these decisions.
Right.
Why is it so important
to
understand the history when analyzing a case like Smith?
Because Smith v. Allwright didn't just come out of nowhere.
Right.
It was the result of a long fight.
Years and years.
Decades of struggle against those Jim Crow laws,
mm-hmm,
and the systematic effort to keep Black people from voting.
It's easy to forget that.
It is.
When we're looking at these cases in isolation.
We have to remember the context.
Yeah.
To really grasp how big of a victory Smith was.
Absolutely.
And to appreciate all the people who fought so hard for that, right?
People like Lonnie Smith.
Exactly.
It really shows that legal progress.
Yeah.
It's a slow process.
It's not always easy.
It takes time and it takes real courage.
People willing to challenge the system.
To stand up for what's right.
Even when it seems impossible.
Even when the odds are stacked against them.
And Smith v. Allwright also highlights, mm-hmm, the power of what we call strategic litigation.
Using the courts to make change.
Exactly. The NAACP played a huge role in getting Smith to the Supreme Court.
They saw the potential of the law.
They knew that legal challenges could be a powerful weapon in the fight for civil rights. And they were right.
And it shows, mm-hmm, that change doesn't always happen overnight.
That's a long game.
It requires strategy, organization, and perseverance.
And a willingness to keep fighting.
Yeah, even when things seem hopeless.
We were talking earlier about how Smith overturned Grover v. Townsend.
Right. A pretty big deal.
It is. And it really shows the tension between sticking to precedent and fixing past wrongs.
That whole idea of stare decisis.
Yes. The idea that courts should generally follow their previous decision.
To keep things consistent.
To ensure stability in the law. But Smith v. Allwright shows us that it's not always that simple.
Right.
Sometimes a past decision is just plain wrong.
Like Grover.
Exactly.
And the court has to be willing to correct those mistakes.
Especially when those mistakes perpetuate injustice.
Justice Reed really hit the nail on the head.
He did.
When he said that constitutional rights would be meaningless if they could just be manipulated out of existence.
Powerful words.
It shows that the court has a responsibility to adapt its interpretations to protect our fundamental freedoms.
To make sure the Constitution stays relevant.
Right.
As times change.
It's a living document, not just a dusty old book.
Exactly.
So Smith v. never parts. All right. It's a story of hope.
It is.
A reminder of the power of the law to bring about justice.
But it also serves as a cautionary tale.
Right.
Because the fight for voting rights.
It's not over.
It's far from over.
New challenges pop up all the time.
They do. We see new tactics to disenfranchise voters.
Trying to take us back to those dark days.
And we can't let that happen.
We can't be complacent.
No, we have to stay informed, stay active.
Keep fighting for equal access to the ballot box.
For everyone.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Smith v. OT.
All right, a truly remarkable case.
What are the main takeaways for our listeners?
Well, the biggest one is that the fight for voting rights continues.
It's an ongoing struggle.
We have to learn from the past, but we also have to be ready for new challenges.
Because the goal of disenfranchisement.
Right.
It's still out there.
And we have to be vigilant.
We have to keep pushing for a more just and equitable democracy.
Where every citizen has an equal voice.
And never take that right for granted.
The right to vote, it's precious.
It's the foundation of our democracy.
And we have to protect it.
Well said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Smith v. Salfay.
All right.
It's been an enlightening conversation.
It has.
And we hope our listeners will continue to explore this critical issue.
Keep learning.
Keep engaging.
And keep fighting for the right to vote.
Until next time, stay curious and stay informed.